I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcast.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV Plus.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, he's the director of the Amazon Prime documentary Blockchain City, also the upcoming film Bitcoin Dilemma, also an author of several books. It's Ian Khan, technology futurist, documentarian, author, joining us on the phone from Toronto. Ian, thanks so much for joining us on Bloomberg Business Week. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hey, thanks for having me. And today I'm actually in Princeton.
Oh, you're close by. Great to hear. Well, next time we're going to have to get you in the studio here at Bloomberg headquarters. Ian, I wanted to talk a little bit about sort of start at the top here, because we're lucky. We have quite a few minutes with you today. Explain blockchain and the promise that you think it offers.
So blockchain, I think, is the most confused technology. But really, it's for me, what blockchain signifies is peace of mind. That's how I equate that technology to a result. Peace of mind, because it takes care of trust issues. It takes care of hacking. It takes care of data protection. It takes care of a lot of things that traditionally we have been unable to do with databases and computer technologies that we've had. And that's what blockchain does in a very complicated way. Yes, it's being defined as a ledger in the sky, and it's an immutable ledger of records. But hey, I love the simplified definition, which is peace of mind technology, something that creates trust and enables trust.
Give me a more tangible example than that. Something that you think has been improved by blockchain technology, or will very soon be improved by the blockchain.
Of course, there's many, many different use cases of blockchain. I love the ones that that are happening in the food industry. Australian beef exports are about the fake Australian beef exports. Counterfeit Australian beef exports are about $2 billion industry. And these foods, we don't know what their origin is, but they're stamped as Australian beef. There's a company, Beef Chain, that's trying to solve this problem by certifying beef that originates from Australia. It's stamped at the beginning of the process of export, and you can scan the package at the grocery store and see the whole journey that this packet of beef has taken. There are examples such as Walmart is doing something with produce tracking and lettuce tracking, and it's got uses when you're tracking the spread of diseases like salmonella or any other contamination of foods. There's examples from the logistics industry where transportation of certain types of equipment or goods or vaccines, as an example, has to be done under controlled temperature, under controlled conditions. And in a traditional industry, traditional refrigeration industry, if the power goes out on one of these units, it's kind of hard to figure out what has happened. But with blockchain-enabled container ships that are temperature controlled, you can verify that information really quick and figure out that there's something gone wrong. The reason why we're able to do this is because you can't manipulate a blockchain database. You're unable to insert records in it or modify it in any way that is not authorized.
So once, let's use this beef example from Australia that you talked about. So once it's been, and I don't want to say stamped on the blockchain, but how is it associated with the blockchain? Like, what is the physical thing that becomes a part of this beef on the package that puts it on the blockchain?
So blockchain is essentially a database, and everyday people, you, me, the beef industry, the farmer, are never going to touch blockchain as such.
Right.
But it powers the underlying system on which.
But it needs some sort of barcode. So it needs something that associates it with the blockchain, right?
Correct. And you can use RFID or barcode.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. So at the beginning of the farm, you can have, let's say, cattle that are at this farm and they're taken to the harvesting site right there at that site, you have a barcode that's generated associated with a certain animal that tags that carcass through its journey as it's processed and packaged. That barcode signifies the start of that journey. As that barcode progresses through the processing plant, through the shipping, through the logistics, and it reaches the end of its journey, your actually information is continuously being added
tight with us, because we're going to do some news and come back in just a few minutes and also talk cryptocurrency, because we haven't talked about that as a form of use of the blockchain. It's Ian Khan, technology futurist.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for the Future Investor Data Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
Get right back to it with Ian Khan. He's the director of the Amazon Prime documentary Blockchain City, also the upcoming film Bitcoin Dilemma, the author of several books as well. He joins us on the phone from Princeton, New Jersey. Ian, when right before the break, we were talking all about applications for blockchain that were what I would consider not non-financial. You didn't mention cryptocurrency once, so I want to dive into that right now. Why didn't you mention cryptocurrency as one of the top applications for blockchain technology? Because I think that's where a lot of people associate it with.
Absolutely. I think cryptocurrency is one important side of blockchain, but not the most important side. And that's my opinion. And it's because cryptocurrencies are in a very initial development phase right now. Yes, Bitcoin has been out there for the last 10, 12 years, but it's ways ahead until the financial systems globally accept cryptocurrencies, if they do, as a stable form of payment or asset class. But that's happening very, very slowly. The other applications of blockchain, in fact, are proceeding really much rapidly, and the applications are tremendous, from insurance industry to logistics to food to retail, education, music rights, intellectual property. There's a limitless number of applications. Crypto is just one of them.
When do we get to a point where people like me don't ask you questions about applications for blockchain technology? That is, where it's something that is so present in our lives, if ever, that we'll all know what it does.
Yep. I think it'll be still some time, and it might happen in different waves across the world. It may happen in certain regions or countries that are faster adopting digital money or cryptocurrencies, and it might take decades in some other parts of the world. And it all depends on adoption. It all depends on how progressive financial systems and governments in those countries are. We're seeing some countries adopt Bitcoin as a form of currency. El Salvador just did that some time ago, although, yes, a very small nation economically, but that push has started to happen. Will that happen in the United States or China or one of the world's largest economies? It's a big, big change, and I don't believe it'll happen just in a few days.
Do you think it will happen with Bitcoin? That will be the cryptocurrency? Or do you think, you know, one thing that I hear from a lot of experts and people in the space is they've said, okay, well, you know, the blockchain technology is like the underlying technology that the internet was in the AOL days. And AOL, though, is like the cryptocurrency of Bitcoin. So the technology is there, but that's a very early technology. And what you're going to see built on it will significantly surpass what's available right now.
I think Bitcoin is, it has the hype associated with it because it was the first cryptocurrency that was out there. It has a very limited number of cryptocurrencies, Bitcoins that will ever be generated, 21 million. And so it's got a few of those factors associated with it. In my personal opinion, it still has challenges. It still has to overcome those challenges. And some newer cryptocurrencies are way far ahead, way faster, and have got much more utility than just Bitcoin. But it's one of the popular ones, right? Because it was the first to market. And right now is also a time of hype for cryptocurrencies. And we've seen that. When certain people are tweeting about Bitcoin, the prices are going up. When they're tweeting
about Bitcoin, Elon Musk.
Tanking. Yes, yes. Yeah. Elon Musk for specifically.
Yeah.
Specifically. So it's a very hyper-driven era where consumers are taken by what popular figures in the tech industry are doing, and which is not right, which is a challenge with Bitcoin, that its own fundamentals are better than that, and it doesn't deserve to be taken up and down like that. So that's my opinion on that.
Ian, do you own any cryptocurrencies?
Oh, I do, and it's a very infinitesimally small amount. I have deliberately done that to stay away from any kind of question that it may arise. I own next to zero cryptocurrencies.
Are there certain cryptocurrencies, though, that you are more bullish on than others?
In the short term, I think, of course, Bitcoin stays the most popular one. I like Hedera Hashgraph. I like Ripple a little bit, but I wouldn't push anybody to buy them or not buy them. Do your due diligence, because there are so many factors that are driving these cryptocurrencies. Some are fast, some have a limited quantity, some have an underlying technology. And I interviewed somebody on my documentary, The Bitcoin Dilemma. It's Dr. Leemon Baird, who invented Hedera Hashgraph, and it's a cryptocurrency that's much faster than Bitcoin, and it's got some really good things happening with it. But please do your due diligence, right? And don't go with hype. Do your due diligence.
Hey, Ian, when you think about the future uses of cryptocurrency, I wonder if you do see, you know, like a country like China actually going through and building its own digital currency and what that means.
I think China is doing something very interesting, and we know they've gone cracked down significantly on cryptocurrency mining, which means they are not entertaining cryptocurrency mining in China. Great. Now, what will they do? There's a couple of things they could be doing. They could either be creating their own cryptocurrency and starting to plan the next few years and decades and how that would work. And also, they could be looking at the digitization of their own currency, the yuan. And so there's two different things they could be doing. China is really an unpredictable adversary. We really cannot predict what China is doing because of all the reasons underlying what China does.
I
wouldn't be surprised if they come up with their own cryptocurrency that they use internally, but at a global level, it might be a little bit of a different take.
Do you think the U.S. will be able to regulate cryptocurrency?
I think it's going to be at least a decade before that regulation happens, although states like Texas have started putting the framework in place. They're attracting mining companies, and they're kind of working on that regulation. I think overall, the United States as a country,
right,
it might be a while before that happens.
Ian Khan, I love talking cryptocurrency. Thank you so much for taking the time and joining us on Bloomberg Business Week Radio. That's Ian Khan, technology futurist, documentarian, author, joining us live on the phone from Princeton, New Jersey.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox president Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.